Hear that? Quiet. Near silence. How long has it been? How long has it been since you've had a chance to just be quiet? I'm not a person who thrives on or seeks out silence. Some of you are about 2 weeks shy of knowing me for a full year, so you may have picked up on that aspect of my personality. That I'm usually always constantly going and doing something and in perpetual motion and talking all the time. So I'm not really one of those people that seeks out and really needs silence. But I did this week. This week we have a little childcare situation. Normally Ariana's in daycare from about 9 to 3, and that's when I do my work. Well, this week and next week she has daycare through our youth program here at church from 9 to noon. And then there's about 3 hours when I'm still used to doing work, but there's nowhere else for her to go, so she comes into my office to be my helper. And I've noticed something, that if there is one person in the world who is more active, more in constant motion, and talking more often than I am, it is my 4.5-year-old daughter. Incessant. Incessant motion. Incessant activity. Incessant talking. I felt like the Grinch. Oh, the noise, noise, noise. Just noise everywhere. One afternoon, she took my iPhone, which has the ability to record and then play back. That's actually how I record my sermons and put them on the website and stuff. So she took my iPhone and she worked that function so that she could record herself and then play it back. And so for a good 2 hours, she did nothing but push record, babble, not speak really, just make up nonsense words, babble for, I don't know, 30 seconds, 2 minutes, didn't matter, press stop, and then listen to herself. And so for 2 hours, she was either talking or listening to herself talking and laughing. And I'm trying to do work, you know, I'm trying to think. People are calling on the phone, people are coming into the office, and in the background for the entire thing is Ariana just... And Benji got home at 3:30, and I said, I need a half an hour. Just a half an hour of silence. I don't often seek out silence. I need a half an hour of silence. Do you want to put on some music? No music. Do you want to watch TV? No TV, no noise. Do you want to go outside? No, there are birds and things and cars making noise. No, I just want silence for half an hour. It was divine. It was restorative. Sometimes we really, really need that. We feel guilty looking for it, seeking it. We feel like maybe we shouldn't or something, but we really, really need that. Jesus calls his disciples to come away with him for some time to a place where they can be alone and to rest. Now, one of the things we love to point out about this, as I did before I read it, is that it comes right before this huge miracle Jesus does. Okay? The next thing he does is like, you know, see a crowd full of people, he preaches to them, he teaches to them, and then when they, you know, it's getting late and they're all hungry, he says, okay, let's feed this crowd of 5,000 people. And so, you know, there's this big, magnificent sign. And so we like to point out that Jesus and his disciples take time or need to take time to come away and rest so that they can do this incredible thing, so that Jesus can do this big miracle. And I think that interpretation is put in there for people like me, people who have a little bit of a hero complex and who feel a little bit guilty if we step back for a while. So we have to say, well, you know, the reason I'm stepping back and taking some rest is because it's going to make me more effective later on. So then I don't have to feel guilty about it, right? That's what justifies it. I'm going to be a better pastor if you let me take a week off. I'm going to be a better mommy and a better wife and a better member of this household if I can have 30 minutes of quiet. And so we try to kind of justify our need for rest, our need for time with God, our need for that refreshing of our spirit by saying, well, that's going to make us better. I'm going to take a little break from the work of the church for a while because I'll be a better volunteer when I come back. But even though that's part of the story, that is the setting of when this call for rest happens, that's not the stated reason. It's not what the story says. This comes right after, or shortly after, Jesus has sent the disciples out. So he calls the 12 disciples, and then he sends them out in teams of two. So you've got these six little two-person teams going out, and he gives them authority to teach, to cast out demons, to heal the sick. And so they go out all over the countryside in their little teams of two, and they do just that. They're doing ministry. They're working. They're working hard. And then at the very beginning of what we read, it says they came back to Jesus and they told him everything they'd done. And that's when Jesus says, come away with me to a place where we can be alone and rest. Not we're going to do something big, we got to prepare for it, but wow, you've been doing something big. We need some rest together. In fact, it's not even about what they've been doing, but in the moment, they are beset with people. There are so many people coming and going, they can't even find like a quiet time to sit down and have a meal together. Does that sound familiar? Ever been in that situation? So busy, so pressed from all sides with problems, with concerns, with tasks to be done, that it feels like just sitting down to dinner is a luxury that you don't have time for? Do you have to rush through that too? So in the midst of that work, Jesus says, no, right now, we need to come away together. You need to come away with me, and we need to come away together as a group, but where we can be alone, and we can have some quiet, and we can rest. The call to come away and to take some time to rest is not just a preparation for more work ahead. Again, that's us trying to make it sound less selfish, you know, that we are going to justify it by saying that it's going to make us more effective later because that's going to help us feel better about it. The call to self-care comes in the midst of important work, not preparation for it, but in the midst of it because it's part of the important work. The work is important, but the rest is important too. The work is important, the ministry is important, but the people doing the ministry are important too. And the need for self-care is real and is a sacred thing. You know, Jesus' ministry was something for which he was willing to die. He was willing to give his life, but he wasn't willing to work himself to death for it. He wasn't willing to have his disciples work themselves to death for it. Because they too were important. They too were sacred. And so the need for rest is sacred. Jesus taught, modeled, that all of us are just as important. All of us who do ministry are just as important as the ones to whom we minister. You know, we think of Jesus getting tired. We can kind of imagine that because, you know, he's a guy walking around doing stuff. So we can imagine that he got tired. We don't really think of God getting tired, you know? And yet in the story of creation, we hear this story about how God takes a day of rest. You know, God creates the world, and then God says, oh, that's good. God's still got work to do. Still a lot of human history left to, you know, be involved with, be present to. But God takes some rest. Do we think that maybe that's, you know, like God would be less effective if God didn't take some rest? No, God takes rest because rest itself is holy. Rest itself reconnects us to God. And so God says, this resting is my thing. This resting is part of my world. This resting is part of who I am and who you are to be as my people. And so when Christ says, come and rest with me, with the presence of God, it is not because of work or in preparation for work, but because to rest in God, to rest with Christ, together rest with Christ, is to come back to that sacredness. The sacredness that is calm, that is peace, that is the silence that I so often do without because I'm sometimes the one making noise. And only when I'm not the one making noise do I realize how incessant that noise can be. That's a little life lesson for me. Rest is not important because we can justify it, because we can point to it and say that it increases our efficiency, like some sort of, you know, model of the workday that you need to have your 15-minute break so that you're a more efficient worker. Rest is important in God's eyes because rest is God's time. It is a connection to God. It is a time in which we recenter ourselves. When Christ calls his disciples together, you know, a group of people kind of gathered in one place. Well, we're a group of people gathered in one place. To come and be with Christ, we can do that. We can be aware of Christ's presence with us here. And then to take time to rest. Well, I've discovered something as a parent, that silence and rest sometimes mean different things. That silence that is broken by the happy chatter of children is not wasted silence or bad silence. That's still rest. That's still restorative. And when we are quiet, when we quiet ourselves, we notice that the world is full of noise. And that's okay. We're not trying to be Buddhist monks and, you know, totally quiet all the thoughts of our minds or all the noise around us, but to just be in a time of rest. So if you hear noise, if you hear small sounds, small happy sounds like that one that I hear now, in a time of quiet, that's all right. That's all right. But it helps us be aware of it. You know, like when the power goes out and you don't realize that everything in your house was making noise until the power goes out? But it does. Your house makes noise. You know, every little electronic device has a hum or a beep or a something or a whir. There's a fan. There's a something or other. And then in the middle of the night, you've fallen sound asleep, and the power comes back on. It's not like, you know, the power comes back on with a huge bang, but every little thing turns back on, and you get that little humming again. And it's loud enough to wake you up because you've been in such calm and such quiet. So sometimes, you know, we try to find that rest. We try to find that quiet, and we get distracted. But that's all right. Just say, okay, that's a noise. It's here. It doesn't take away from this time, which is a time to be together or to be alone with Christ and find rest. I'm saying all this like I'm preparing you to try to practice it. That's because I am. So shut up already, Becca. Okay, I will in a minute. In a minute, I promise. I want to give you an opportunity to be at rest, to come away together in Christ's presence and be at rest. Now, as I said, that doesn't necessarily mean it will be silent. There's a projector running with a hum and a laptop running with a fan. There's children making small, happy little sounds, or not so happy little sounds sometimes, and that's okay too. There's pews creaking as people shift in their seats. There's the breath of the person next to you that you'll suddenly hear louder in the quiet. But all of these things are part of the space and the time and the world around us that we're given in this moment to be with God and to be at rest. So I'm going to give you 2 minutes, which I discovered at my previous church feels like an eternity, to be still, to be comfortable, to be quiet, not necessarily silent in our ears, but at peace, at rest, to come away and to be with Christ.
God, your presence is with us always. And sometimes we need to still ourselves a little bit to hear it, to feel it. We pray that you will give us pause this week, in the days ahead, each day, to take time to rest, not so that we can be more efficient people, but so that we can be more connected to you. So that we can see that all our time, our working and our resting, is your time. That all our time, our working and our resting is sacred because it connects us to you. And so in the times of quiet and near quiet, in the times of busyness and stillness, may we make time to come away and to rest in you. Amen.